I'd invite you to open in your Bibles to the book of Malachi. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, as you find your place there, and I ask that you stand out of respect to the Word of God as we read about five verses. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? Now here's the answer to that. In tithes and offerings, you're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine caster fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be the delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Father, we thank you for your word, and as we consider the topic this morning, we ask that you would bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I found that there's two subjects that no one likes to hear preached. One of them has to do with music, and I touch on that from time to time. I've been here 17 and a half years, and I believe there's only been one sermon I've dedicated to music. And I'm thinking about dusting that off and bringing that out before too long, but we'll see how the Lord guides there. But the other topic that people do not like to hear preached, one is about our music and the other is about our money. And most of you should know my testimony about this because when I was growing up, my parents dropped me and my brothers and sisters off at a local mainline church that doesn't have any clue what the gospel is all about. But then when I was about 9 or 10 years old, our parents gave us the decision to make, do you want to keep going or not? Because by then we're old enough, the youngest of us were old enough to behave on our own, and so mom and dad didn't need the babysitting service that they took advantage of every week. But we all said no, don't want to go anymore. Well, about a year after that, they sent a couple of the fellows from the church to the house to see what happened to all those kids. And my mom wouldn't even let them in the door, and she was borderline rude with them. And when she came back in the house after running them off, I asked her, Mom, why didn't you let them in the house? And her exact statement was, the church is only there to get your money. And so that was the environment I grew up in. And then I got saved when I was almost 20 years old, and the evangelist who led me to the Lord, it was on Thursday night visitation, encouraged me to be in church, and so I went to church that Sunday morning. And I can give you one guess, and you'll probably get it, what the preacher preached about that morning. He preached about money. And the whole time he was preaching, I didn't hear much of what he said. I just was saying, yeah, Mom was right. Mom was right. And so I didn't go back for a while, and praise God, I did go back, and here I am today because of it. But I look back, and this will only be the third time I've preached on tithing. Now, I've touched on it, just like with music, from time to time, but this is an important issue. I think we all want to get to the last verse we read. Now, obviously, this is written specifically to Israel, but there's some timeless principles and truths here that go beyond just the nation of Israel. And if they would be faithful in their finances, God says to the nation, and all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. And so what he's saying there is that if they would just be faithful with their finances, then the rest of the world, the unsaved world, the Gentile world, because we're talking Jew and Gentile, those that worshiped other gods would look at the nation of Israel and they would make note that they are blessed. They enjoy something that we don't experience in our relationship with our gods. They experience something as a nation that we don't experience as a nation because they have God blessing them. And they look at the nation of Israel and say, now there's a delightsome land. What a wonderful word, delightsome. Don't you wish you were delightsome? What does that word mean anyway? Maybe I should have looked it up before I got up here this morning. So I'm just going to make this up, but here we go. What delightsome says to me is it says it's some, if it's talking about an individual, it's someone you want to be around with. Because you derive joy from being in their presence. In other words, they themselves are not only blessed from God, but they in turn are a blessing to those that are around them. And I think that's what the nations were saying as they talked about Israel. And that's because God specifically says because of faithfulness in their finances. Now, how do those two things relate to each other to us? That makes no sense. But in God's program, it makes perfect sense. And so, though we may think that our tithing and our offerings aren't that important, God says it's of paramount importance. And so I want to consider that concept of tithing this morning. Now, obviously, to define tithe, the word itself just means a tenth, because God in His program that predated the Mosaic Law, when we say, well, that's just Old Testament, we're saying that that came from the law given on Sinai. But we can go before that. We're not going to take the time to do that. But we see that tithing existed before Mount Sinai. The concept of giving God a tenth. And so where in the world did that come from? I believe you have to go all the way back to the Garden of Eden when Adam and God walked together in the garden. And then when God drove Adam out, Adam understood a lot of things that aren't recorded in the Word of God that Adam specifically said to him. Can you imagine how thick our Bibles would be? I mean, it'd be read your Bible through in 10 years if we had everything recorded that God said to His people. He gave us just that scarlet thread showing us of the coming Messiah. Then He told us of the Messiah. And then in the Pauline and the general epistles, He tells us what to do since Messiah has come. And then in the book of Revelation, He tells us that Messiah is coming back again. But it's all the scarlet thread of salvation of Jesus Christ. And so He doesn't record everything that you find in the Word of God. And some preachers make a mistake by saying that they didn't know this in the Old Testament because they don't see where God told them. But the fact is, we can find it, and they understood it, and they knew it, and the only way they're going to know it is if God told them. And I believe tithing is one of those situations. They understood that God expected 10%. Now, He doesn't expect you to give 10% of everything that's yours to Him. Now, did you hear what I just said? Now, I'm saying that to get your attention, kind of the shock value, because I want you to hear what I'm going to say next. So let me try to say that again. God doesn't expect you to give 10% of everything you have, because everything you have belongs to God. And God is just saying, you give me back 10% of everything I give you. Now, you can keep 90% of my stuff that I allow you to have, that I entrust with you as a steward. But that's an important concept for us to grasp, that 10% isn't even ours. Now, oftentimes we spend it like it's ours, or we give it like it's ours, but the truth is, it's not ours. It belongs to God. God allowed you to have it. You say, well, wait a minute. I worked the job. I earned that. Yeah, you did. But who gave you the job? Who gave you the health to work the job? Who gave you the skill and the knowledge and the ability and the capability of performing that job week in and week out to arrive at the income that you're at? God did. And it's time we begin to give God the credit for the things that He does in our lives instead of taking the credit for ourselves and thinking that I'm such a great person and I'm going to give God 5% of everything I get. No. God says in Malachi, you're robbing from me because you're holding back. If you're giving Him 5%, you're holding back 5% that He said belongs to Him. He's giving you 90% to live on, and in that 90%, now here's where it gets really radical. If you are tithing like God expects you to tithe, you're going to give him that 10% right off the top before the government takes their taxes out. Now they get theirs first because they're not going to do without. They take it right out of your check. But you're going to take that amount before tax and you're going to just figure straight 10% and you're going to give that to God if you're doing it right. And then the 90% you've got, the government gets their share. And then out of that, whatever's left, they say the government takes between 20 and 25%, so you're left down to about 70, 75% maybe. You're going to take some more of that, and you're going to give it to God as an offering, as an offering. Now, I understand that a lot of people here don't always understand the way we take our offerings, where all the money goes. If you put money in the offering plate, or if you put it in the envelope, if you use the envelope system, and you don't put any marks on it, it all goes into the general fund. The general fund takes care of my family, my salary. It takes care of my health insurance, gives Brother Scott the little salary that he's able to draw. It pays our light bill, pays our gas bill, keeps our van and bus on the road. It pays the everyday expenses of the church. That's the general fund. If you just drop money in the offering plate, it's going to go there. If you don't designate on your envelope, it's going to go there. Now, if you look in the envelopes, and probably we don't have any before us right now, but it's got three boxes: general fund, building fund, and missions. If you put money and designate, if you put $10 in the offering and you put $8 for general fund and $2 for building fund, right now the building fund is being collected in order to replace the carpet and look at replacing the seating here in the auditorium. It needs updated in here, at least we believe it is, and so we began taking an offering. And so if you want to give to that, put building fund for that and designate that. If you put it in missions, it's going to go to missions. Now, we do, on the first Sunday of the month, we collect a special missions offering. The Sunday school offering, when the church was founded, that Sunday school offering on the first Sunday of the month was our missions giving. And so anything given for Sunday school offering on the first Sunday of the month goes to the missionaries. If it's taken any other Sunday of the month, it goes to purchase the Sunday school curriculum and the Sunday school expenses. But the first Sunday is for missions. Now, the way I think that it generally works out most of the time now is that we just mark on our envelope on the first Sunday of the month. But we can put in for missions any day of the month, well, any Sunday of the month. And so if you mark it on missions, it's going to go to missions. It's not going to pay the light bill here. It'll support our missionaries. And so I think that's all the funds we've got right now. Did I miss one, Dawn? Dawn's our bookkeeper. Okay, thank you. We do have a little, what it is, the round tube, tall tube, that used to hold a roll of paper around it. And they rolled the paper off through the printing press and printed gospel tracts. And if you drop loose change or bills in there, that all goes directly down to Fellowship Tract League to help them buy more paper so they can print more tracts. And so that's another fund that we do. And when we get, is it $250? When we get $250 collected in there, we'll send it down because that's what it costs them to buy paper. But anyway, that's all how it works here. Your tithing, and this is the way it should work, your tithing should go in the general fund. That belongs to God. That's for the operating expenses here. Your offering from the 70 to 75% you have left, that's where you should give to the building fund if you choose to. That's where you should give to missions if you choose to. That's where you should give to Sunday school if you choose to. That's where you should give to the track fund if you choose to, or any special fund we have. And when we have special speakers, we receive special love offerings. And so praise the Lord for that. Now, I think this was the first year in our missions revival that we had a large enough love offering that we didn't have to take any out of the missions offering to give them a good love offering. And so praise God for that. Sometimes I wonder why God even, it's only the third time, but why does God have me speak on giving? Because this church has historically been very generous in giving to God's work. Very faithful to God. And I think that's why we're blessed the way that we're blessed, because God says that if we'll do that, all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. And so God expects us to tithe, and if we do, just simply do what he asks us to do, he's going to pour his blessings down to us, so much so that in verse number 8 he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. And notice this. He says, if you'll just do what I tell you to do, here's what I'll do in response. He says, will I not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it? You see, God says that even though tithing in our minds may not make sense, God will bless those who do it. It's just the most ironic thing that if you tithe, you'd sit down and do the math on your budget, you wonder, how did it all work? And I've mentioned it before that Amy and I have tithed since we were married. In fact, before we were married. And we taught our children. You know, the question was, well, when do I start tithing? We taught our kids to tithe. I remember when our oldest son, Stephen, and he'll be 33 this summer. And I remember when he was about 5 or 6 years old, we went to a garage sale. And I pulled out the change in my pocket, and I think I had about $1.50, close to $2 of change, and I gave it to him, put it in his hands. He was 5 or 6 years old. I said, now you can use this money and buy anything you want. And they had a whole bunch of stuff. Just it was a big garage sale. And I said, now remember, you want to keep back 10% of this for God. And of course, he has to ask me, how much is 10%? I told him that it was whatever the number was. And you know what he did? He took all that money except a quarter and said, this is for Jesus. And I questioned. I said, are you sure? Don't you? I mean, there's going to be stuff you're going to want to buy. And he just insisted, I'm only going to keep a quarter. And all the rest gets to go to Jesus. And okay. We went through that garage sale, and he looked at everything that was there, and he only found one thing that he was interested in. Only one thing. You know how much it costs? It costs a quarter. That's just the way God works things out. It's amazing. When you do things the way God tells you to do them with your finances, you'll be blessed. God will provide. It'll be enough, so much to the point that God describes here in verse number 10 that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God says he'll bless you beyond your wildest imaginations. And so he encourages us, prove me now herewith. I don't know if you girls understand this. Us guys probably all do growing up as boys. Prove it. You know, put your money where your mouth is. And a lot of young men do a lot of stupid things trying to prove it and get themselves in trouble sometimes. But God here is saying, tell me to prove it. Put me on the spot. Tell me to put my money where my mouth is. He says, I'll come through. He says, I'm faithful. He says, you don't have to worry about me because I cannot lie. I'll never lie because I'm just not capable of doing that. And he tells us he's going to bless us, and he tells us that he's going to open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing. Now, don't you want that? I sure do. And I believe God has. You know, I look back at Amy, I've been married a long time. All right, now I got to do the math. We're going on 35 years. We're married in 1983. So 35 years this summer. And God has blessed us in wonderful ways. Now, we've been like every other couple. We've had times where the finances have been tight. But God has always gotten the bills paid. Now, we've never held back. Now, I believe you need to take care of those bills. I really honestly do. But I think too often we're waiting to get our finances in order to start tithing when God says, we need to do it the other way around. We need to start tithing and then God will start providing and those finances will fall right into place. I think sometimes we get the cart before the horse. I've got a whole outline here. I've used up over half my time. I haven't even touched my outline yet. But the whole point that I'm trying to challenge you with is the challenge that God throws out here in verse number 9. Prove me. Prove me. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. Let's get into the outline. We'll run through this pretty quickly, I believe. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 2. He doesn't specifically say tithing, but he is talking about giving to the Lord's work. And he says, upon the first day of the week, that would be today, the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. In other words, collect through the week, because they didn't get paid on a weekly basis like we generally do. They would go take their wares to the market and they would sell them and they would get their pay there. But what he's saying is, you take my part out of that, that 10%, and you lay it by store. You put it in a little collection, or you put it in a jar or something. And on the first day of the week, you put it in your pocket and you bring it where? As God hath prospered them, that there be no gatherings when I come. You bring it to the church. And so, weekly bring your offering to the church as God has prospered him. Now, as I said, we don't see the idea, or the word, I should say, the idea of tithing. That came out backwards again. We don't see the word tithe, but we see the idea, the concept of tithing, as God has prospered him. He says, if God gave you $100, that's how he's prospered you. Now, his part that he's established already in Scripture is you bring $10 of that $100 and you give it to God on the first day of the week. Then on top of that, you bring your offerings. The offerings show how much you love God. The tithe shows your obedience, but your offerings show how much you love God. Now, God loves you a lot, doesn't he? And look at how much he's given to you. So offer so stingy with God. And we don't have the blessings that we could have and that God wants us to have because we haven't given God that demonstration of our love with our offerings. But the first day of the week, bring your offerings as God hath prospered, implying a specific portion, which, as I said, has been established as that 10% throughout Scriptures. Look over, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 have a lot to do with finances and giving to the Lord. We're not going to obviously cover both chapters, and we're only going to look at a couple of verses in them. But there's some important points to keep in mind on tithing and offerings here in these chapters. Look at chapter 9, verse number 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Are you struggling financially? Could it be because you're not tithing? Think about that. God says if you're stingy and giving to the Lord, he's going to make sure that you reap the same. Stinginess and God's provision in your lives. Now, how does God provide? Now, if you give a generous offering, as the seed faith crowd today, they say, now you put a seed offering in of $1,000, and God will multiply it. For God doesn't work that way. If you want to have a fat bank account, you probably shouldn't tithe and give offerings generously, because God doesn't always bless in that respect or in those regards. But God will bless you by allowing that which you have to last longer. And if you're stingy with God, you might drive a nice car, but guess where that car is going to spend a lot of time? In the garage. They've said it all my Christian life, and I didn't understand it for a long time. But God always gets his tithe. He always gets his 10%. Now, it may not be going to the church, but he's going to get it out of you. You're not going to have it to spend. But if you're giving it to God, he's going to make sure that he takes care of things for you. I could tell you example after example. The funnest one I like to tell about is this old beater van that Amy and I bought just to move. And I've mentioned it before. In fact, I was able to find a picture on the internet that looked almost exactly like that old van, except it didn't have quite enough rust. You ask me what color it is, I just say, well, what color is rust? That's what color my van was. But we bought it for a couple hundred dollars. just to move one time when we lived up in Grand Rapids. And I figured I could sell it for $200 when I was done. It didn't cost me anything, a lot cheaper than U-Haul. And but I kind of liked that old van, and so we kept it. And I drove that thing for over 3 years. Used it to take teens to youth rallies all over the place. And needed a gasket. I forget what gasket it needed. I was able to do it myself, a valve cover gasket. First time I was taking them, they're back there choking and coughing. And I look back saying, what's the problem? I see it was all blue back there. And I understood. I was in the front seat. It didn't bother me. But it was a panel van, so it didn't have windows to open to get the... But anyway, that's what God does. This stupid old $200 van that should have died about a day after I bought it. And it was funny. I remember when I bought it, I went to pull... You know, I was going to give it a test drive. He had it running when I got there, which I thought, well, that's kind of weird, but okay. But I understood why when, because it stalled. I went to start it in park, and nothing happened. Now, the cars today won't do it, but those older cars, you just drop them down to neutral. You could still start in neutral and start it up just fine. So I drove that van for 3 years, having to move it down to neutral to get that thing to start. But I remember seeing the guy's eyes when he heard it stall, and he thought he wasn't going to sell the van. But... not a problem. But God kept that old thing running. I think it's because we were faithful. And there's that old tempo we had. Some of you might remember that thing. I just kept hoping that thing would die. I remember getting the call from Anna that she had pulled out at a red light and gotten broadside. And I'm thinking, finally, we can get rid of that tempo. And I got there, all it was a small little dent that wouldn't let the passenger side door open. And the crowbar took care of that. Sometimes there might be disadvantages to tithing. I'm talking myself out. No, just kidding. The blessings are far worth it because God will reward you accordingly, as he says here. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. We find also in the next verse, now, we need to read the next two verses. The point is actually in verse number 8. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, I believe tithing is an act of faith. Now, it's an act of obedience. And even as we read there in verse number 7, according as he purposes in his heart, we'll get back to that in a minute, but that doesn't say, well, I'm going to purpose to just give 2%. Or, I remember when I first got saved, and trying to figure out the percentage, I can't do math when I'm in front of people, but percentage-wise would be a very small percent. Thought, man, I'm just giving the world. I'm probably the biggest giver in this church. And, boy, was I in for a rude awakening when I found out the truth on that one. But it's not talking about just make up your mind and you can choose. I know some people take this verse and they call it grace giving. Well, I believe it's grace giving, but it's beyond the tithe. But we'll get in that in just a minute. But I think verse number 8 talks about faith because of the second, third, and fourth words in that verse. God is able. You see, we give because God is able. We don't give because we doubt God, but we give because we trust God. We give because we have faith that God will provide. We give our tithes and offerings on top of that because we believe that God will pour out the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. We give because God told us to prove Him. And so we give by faith as we give in obedience. Because we could sure use that money in 100 different places, couldn't we, if we're honest? But we can't because it's not ours, it's God's. And so we give it to Him and trust that God will provide the money that we need in those 100 other places. It's just the way it works. And then moving back into verse number 7. Giving, tithing, is an act of worship. It's an act of worship. As He purposes in His heart. Did you know God doesn't need a penny you give Him? Now, the church does. You know, if you come in and it's cold and the lights are off, you know, well, our giving was down. If you see me working at McDonald's, you know, well, the giving's way down. Now, that would be backwards. I'd go to work before we'd turn the lights and heat off. But God doesn't need a penny you have. So that leads us to the question, why does he ask? Not just ask, but demand. Why does he command us to give it to us? Because he's not interested in the money. He's interested in your heart. He's interested in your heart as he purposes in his heart. You see, God wants your heart. He doesn't care so much about your pocketbook, but he knows that if you'll give God your pocketbook, he knows he's got your heart, because we wrap our hearts pretty tightly around that pocketbook and we protect it with everything we have, because that's one of the more important material things that we have in this world. God wants your heart. If you tithe, it's an act of worship. And if you give offerings on top of that, which we should, I believe we should, then that is an act of worship, because God has our heart and we're willing to do out of love that which can be hard for us to do. That which can be difficult physically for us to do because we've got so many bills to pay. But God says, prove me. Prove me. Prove me, and I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. So much so that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Does God have your heart this morning? Obviously, it all starts with salvation. If you're not 100% sure you're on your way to heaven, just be assured that you're a sinner and you're not going to just get there on your own. Be assured that Jesus died on the cross to demonstrate that love, but to pay also the price of your sin, which is eternal death. He didn't stay dead. He rose again the third day for your justification. And he wants to give you eternal life. If you'll just by faith believe that, you too can have eternal life. Does God have your heart, Christian? If he has your heart, you'll be faithful in your finances. If you're faithful in your finances, God will pour out the blessings. He says, prove me. Won't you prove God this morning? Father, we're grateful for your word. Bless it to our hearts now. Only your Holy Spirit knows the needs of our hearts. Father, I pray that in that supernatural way that only you can do, that you'll take the simple message that was delivered this morning and apply it right to those areas of our needs. Father, there'd be even one here this morning without Christ. I pray that they might be saved before it's too late. Father, if there's any here that have any issue in the area of giving and you've addressed it, Father, I pray that they would make commitments before they leave this place. Well, thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen.